inevitably go into coalition with Reform. That is the fundamental problem. It is the commitment of the current Conservative Party to being Reform light, which makes Reform's prospects for government so good.
Hello, I'm Brendan Donnelly. I'm the former director of the Federal Trust, and today I'll be speaking to the chairman of the Federal Trust, John Stevens, about the current state of the European debate in this country and what the prospects are for its development over the coming years. John, over the past couple of weeks, we've seen Rachel Reeves and a number of other Labour luminaries speaking out more frankly and more extensively than we've heard them for a long time about the economic damage that Brexit is doing to the country. Why do you think there's been this at least partial change of mind?
Well, she's obviously trying to prepare the ground for tax rises and needs to explain why the economic circumstances are so challenging that it requires a break of the election pledges which they made with regard to taxation at the time of the general election. That, I think, is the principal reason. I think there's also behind that a realization of the scale of the threat that Reform now constitutes electorally, and that Brexit is the weak point of Reform's position, because after all, leaving the European Union was the only policy advocated by Nigel Farage, which has actually been implemented, and it's now very widely regarded as having been a serious mistake.
How effective do you think that tactic is going to be? After all, even today when she was talking about the budget, Rachel Reeves didn't condemn Brexit as a principle. What she said was that it was a hurried and ill-conceived project. Well, Reform can come back and say it wasn't carried out the way we wished it was. Blame the Conservatives for that.
And wasn't carried out by us. I mean, that's the key argument that Farage is making. He was nowhere near government, and so his hands are clean. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it is grotesque to say that Brexit is the reason why we are in such economic difficulties, and that's why we have to raise taxes. But we're not actually going to do anything about Brexit. We're not going to reverse it. I mean, that is wholly illogical and destroys, in my view, the credibility of the whole operation.
From the Labour Party point of view, you mean?
Indeed.
Yes. So perhaps it may be that the Labour government are prevented by their own hesitations from making a full frontal attack on Reform. Does that improve Reform's chances for the next general election, do you think?
Well, there's no question that the inability of the British establishment and the British government to attack Brexit and to say that it was a mistake that should be reversed is the real reason why Farage is getting away scot-free for responsibility for the policy with which he has been completely identified and which is the basis of his entire position in British politics. And I think the reason for this has a lot to do with the fears that the Labour Party have over the large number of its voters who voted for leaving the European Union, particularly in seats that are traditionally important for them in the so-called red wall in the north. But I also think that a dominant factor is the position of the Trump revolution in America and the extreme influence that the United States has over the UK in defence and economically, above all, both areas in which we are extremely vulnerable at the moment. And of course, President Trump and the MAGA movement is extremely hostile towards the European Union. So any suggestion by the British government that we're being in favour of closer connections with the European Union is seen to be problematic. But that doesn't explain why I think other opposition parties, I mean, the Liberal Democrats and the Greens, are so far being relatively cautious. I mean, they're beginning to change their view on this. Obviously, the Conservative Party is absolutely boxed into being committed to Brexit. And that is what is basically eviscerating them and dragging them towards being totally vassalized by reform.
Some people drew the view from the recent by-election in Wales, the Caerphilly by-election, that a front could be constructed against reform by voters who didn't want reform at any price. They point to the number of people who probably weren't in favour of Welsh independence, who voted for Plaid Cymru in order to keep the Reform Party out. Do you think that's the way that the general election is going to pan out, on the assumption, which I don't necessarily share, on the assumption that reform are something like the position in the polls in three years' time that they are now?
Well, this dream of a popular front is a very old one on the left right across Europe, European politics. The problem that you've got there is essentially the fragmented nature of any such front to stop reform, because suggesting that you could cobble together a coalition between moderate Labour Party, the more extreme left-wing positions within the Green Party, and perhaps in any breakaway that Jeremy Corbyn is able to create, and nationalists, particularly Scottish nationalists rather than Welsh ones, because I think what is very striking at the moment in response to Reform's electoral effort in Scotland is the restoration of the credibility of independence as a policy. And we had an opinion poll just recently, which showed a surprising lead for independence. All of the this is such a fragmented coalition that, of course, you could imagine a level of revulsion against Farage and against reform, leading to a significant level of tactical voting. But whether it would be sufficient to stop him, I'm very sceptical about. Not least because the fundamental problem in British politics is that the current Conservative Party, in all its vassalage essentially to reform, will inevitably go into a coalition with reform after the next general election, whatever is said prior to the general election. And that is what gives Farage a dominant position in our politics. It's not merely the current position that he enjoys in the opinion polls, which suggest, or some of them suggest, that he could win an outright majority on his own. It is the fact that the Conservative Party is a zombie army of support for him that will sustain a Farage administration after the next general election.
You talked about the importance of what's happening in America for bolstering the support of Farage and reform. Does it work the other way around if, over the next couple of years, economically, politically, even militarily, the United States is clearly shown to be failing under Donald Trump? Not necessarily under Donald Trump. There are rumors about his health, about whether he'll survive to the next election. Do you think that that will, can re be read across to the United Kingdom as undermining the position of Farage if people look across the Atlantic and see MAGA America as being a terrible warning?
Oh, I think it would. I mean, there hasn't been a time in our politics, certainly not in recent history, where what happens abroad is so important for our own politics. And whether the MAGA revolution, because that is what it is a revolution in America, counter-revolution perhaps, whether the MAGA experiment is seen to be a success or not, is seen as attractive or not by a significant section of the British electorate, that is going to be absolutely decisive, I agree. And I'm not in a position to make serious predictions about that. I'm not sure anyone is. The problem that one's got, though, is that you don't need a majority of people feeling that America is more attractive than Europe, that we should go down the path of a radical experiment along the lines that MAGA is attempting in the United States. You only need 30 to 35% of people supporting that proposition for that to form a government. I mean, that is The real strength of Farage at the moment, his prospects of becoming prime minister, do reside in our current electoral system. And unless you feel that there's a chance of that being altered, his prospects will remain very good, particularly since he's now clearly attempting to become more respectable economically. I mean, he's attempting to show that he's prudent and the rest. He's attempting to benefit from the undoubted impact that tax rises will have upon former conservative middle class voters in the south of England, and who will move towards a position of saying, well, Farage is obviously problematic, but we've got to give him a chance. He's better than what we've got at the moment. Anything is worth a punt in order to get us out of the mess we're in. That sort of thinking is becoming more and more widespread, and you're getting figures in business and in erstwhile political leaders. There's a leader today in the by William Hague in the Times saying that Farage should be a little bit more prudent, and this is what I'm advising him to do. I mean, this sort of acceptance that Farage is coming, this resignation, this inability to resist, this readiness to cave in and accept reform in government, that is what is really poisoning any attempt at resistance.
Made the point that perhaps with just over 30% of the electorate, it might be possible for reform to get a majority in Parliament. I'd issue one cautionary word against that. Even if the progressive, the left-wing parties are themselves split, I think the electorate are quite canny about working out the best way in which they can allocate their votes, even under a first-past-the-post system that will keep out reform. After all, at the next general election, last general election, the Conservatives were obviously the people that the electorate wanted to keep out, and they voted in a much more efficient way, from which the Liberal Democrats, the Greens, and of course the Labour Party benefited disproportionately. So the system can be gamed if the electorate want to do, but setting that aside, do you think there's any chance of a serious move towards electoral reform in the near future? That a lot of discussion has focused on the way in which the results of 2024 were anomalous, anomalous in a number of ways, that Labour should have such a big majority with a relatively small percentage of the vote. Liberal Democrats got no more votes, but they got many more seats. And even the fact that Reform got in the mid-teens and only got five seats. A lot of people find that a very strange set of outcomes to our system, to our electoral system. Do you think there's any chance of its being changed?
Well, I do, but let me come on to that. Let me just go back to this question about tactical voting and its impact. I mean, the problem that we've got in relying on tactical voting, keeping Farage out, is firstly that the status of the Labour Party in this is very different from the status it had when there was tactical voting against the Conservatives. I think what is likely to happen if, for whatever reason, Farage falters, and you do get a significant protest against him expressed in tactical voting, is that you end up with a completely hung parliament. And the problem there is that if a coalition cobbled together of the Labour Party, the Liberal Democrats, Nationalists, Greens, on current polling would be so chaotic and so difficult to sustain. Difficult to sustain, particularly with regard to Scottish nationalism, I would suggest, which would obviously want to benefit from a position of influence to push for another referendum. But also destabilizing in economic terms, because you would get elements in that coalition which would be advocating very extreme policies on the economy, which would not really be sustainable or easily combined with the program of, for example, the Labour Party or the Liberal Democrats. And so such a coalition could indeed be formed to block reform getting into government after the next election, but I'm not sure it would last very long and could collapse in circumstances so chaotic that that would be the real opportunity for reform to come in and impose its form of order and discipline. It's a vision for the future that is so closely aligned to some of the stuff that we're hearing from Mr. Trump in the United States. I mean, that would almost be the perfect storm for Farage. So I don't see any real hope in that. Now, coming to proportional representation, there is no question that there is a widespread recognition that the current system is not working. And the more that we get fragmentation of the political spectrum, I mean, I'm thinking particularly of the rise of the Greens here, but also the continued appeal of the Scottish nationalists, despite their extraordinarily poor record in government in Holyrood, and the rise of Plaid in Wales, and perhaps whatever may emerge on the far left in protest groups from Jeremy Corbyn and others, that this fragmentation is such that the next general election under our current system is a complete sweepstake. No one knows exactly what would happen because very small variations in vote could make enormous differences in terms of seats. So I think that realization is certainly there. And there's no question that proportional representation is now being discussed within the councils of the Labour Party to a degree quite unprecedented. Whether this is sufficient to deliver a change in time for the next general election is, however, a very different matter. And there does seem to be a split in opinion. There are people who feel that introducing alternative voting it would be something which could be done in time for the next general election and could be pushed through simply with a massive parliamentary majority, which, of course, what the Labour Party have. But there are also plenty of other votes in favour of such a change in the current parliament, so that they would be able to command an overwhelming parliamentary majority, so that they could push this through without a referendum. Whereas anything more complex, such as, for example, adopting the Scottish system, would be rather more difficult. That seems to be where the debate is currently lying. Now, the problem with this is that from the point of view of stopping Farage, is that the key thing to stop Farage is to prevent what I mentioned earlier, which is the almost total certainty that is it now prevails that the Conservative Party, whatever number of seats it secures after the next general election, either under PR or under the current system, would inevitably go into coalition with Reform. That is the fundamental problem. It is the commitment of the current Conservative Party to being reform light, which makes reforms prospects for government so good. And the question is, would a change in the electoral system precipitate the end of that? Would it cause, for example, a split in the current Conservative Party with a significant body going separately and saying, under no circumstances would we go into a coalition with Reform, the sort of position that we see on the continent, the position that has kept Wilders out of government in the Netherlands and lies behind the success of the moderate parties in moderate centre right in the Netherlands in the recent election, the position that the Christian Democrats have taken in Germany towards the AfD, for example. Without that, any change in the electoral system isn't actually going to make that much difference. Certainly, AV would not make that much difference. If we were to adopt a Scottish system with a top-up list and things, that might be different. But that's where we lie at the moment. I think there is, in short, a very significant debate going on inside the Labour Party and inside the government about AV, but it has not really crystallised yet. And one key factor in whether it crystallises or not into a concrete proposal and concrete policy is a judgment of whether such a change would entail a split in the Conservative Party.
Well, as you've hinted, I'm less impressed by Farage's recent surge in the polls. I think it will be reversed quite rapidly, and I think his attempts to make himself respectable, in fact, will be counterproductive because I think he will be making compromises that the people who want to support him will find unattractive. Let me have an opportunity on a future podcast to develop that further. But thank you very much indeed for sketching out your views. And as ever, those who live longest will know most. Thank you very much.
Thank you.